This is Louis Sieber Stones for the South Texas Oral History and Folklore Collection for the James C. Jonathan Library at Texas A&M University in Kingsville. This recording is specifically for History 375, History of the Frontier under Dr. Hunter. Mrs. Personius recollects some of early South Texas history and early border raids from parents' memory.
So now, if you go on that question, you can start talking about your experiences.
Yes, well, my experience was about the pastor of the state of Texas. I was born this country, this state, and this country almost 94 years ago. Because coming February 17th, I've been 94 years old. I have lots of things to be thankful for, as I said, day before yesterday, Thanksgiving Day. I mean, Thanksgiving Day, 2 days ago. And one is that the Lord thank God for the long years He has let me live in this world. For my wonderful parents that I have, my wonderful family. For being an American, for being a Catholic, a Christian, I hope I am a good Christian. And I heard the covered this to be my last rising, or the half year of the month, that an old lady, we must not to thank the Lord for, but she says, I thank you for having 2 weeks left. Well, how much more thankful should I be that I have 26 teeth of my own? And the sound in good teeth. Now, this student from my college is looking for the historical research about Texas and especially the Rio Grande Valley. And he's interested about the Indians. Well, I don't know much about the news, only that the midwife that brought me to this world was an Indian, Cherokee Indian. But I think she was a captive because her complexion was warfare. And they called her Madame Carmel. She was just like a camel, like a tall and slender. She rode a horse bareback all the time. And she was quite a nurse. She knew a lot about medicine. So this Japanese she had learned from the Indians. And she was willing to be a doctor about medicine. And if you hadn't been first God, and then Marana Carmen, my mother had died when I was born because I was number 15 in my family. My mother had 15 children. I am number 15. And I am 5'9½" tall. And I've been very healthy all my life. I'm 94, went for a physical 2 weeks ago, and the family, perfect. Only 1 year of the disease I have is that old age. We're coming back, going back to the Indians. Madame Carmen was, as I said, choking. And every time when she gave medicine, a purgative or tea or whatever it was in those days, she always put her finger in the cup or the glass or the spoon that she was giving the patient and tasted it first. Even in most cases, she would taste it first and then give it to the patient. Never give the patient everything did that before she tasted it herself.
And this was in which city?
And she was,
Which town was this? Which town was this in?
I think I'm in Cardiff. And it was at the farm, at the farm. And she used to, it was a common county, and after she lived at La Grecia, which is now Los Indios. And then they call it La Panola.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay, you were telling me that, I tell you why they changed to Los Indios stuff. But anyway, my mother, who was, I think, born in the early 1870s, when she was a young girl, was in a very Indian raid. And it was at this place, La Panola, or La Vecias, that the brother, my grandfather's brother, I'm going to call him Jesse, and that was at Silver County, owned this house, and it was the walls were brick, thick walls brick. And the roof had been about shingles, so made this shed.
In those days,
the fences were made out of logs, big logs, about one of those 12 or 14 inches in diameter, in diameter. And the there were cracks between the lands. Mm-hmm. And for the fact that these Indians were raiding that close to this place, they put all the ladies and the women and the children in this big house and shut all the windows. They were broke down everything. So my mother didn't see them because they couldn't see how cool they were close to that, but she heard all about it. And the men, all the men got on the stomachs, it was laid on the stomachs, and through the cracks of this fence, they were watching for Indians. But they put a board on top of the roof of the house, and only that he could just stick his head out and see if they were coming and telling. So he said, he had been watching for quite a while, but he says, "I don't believe you so much, there they come and there are plenty of them." And then they kept calling him, "Kipan, how far are they? How far are they?" He didn't answer. You know what the boy did? As soon as he said, "I love men and you saw vultures," started right off. He stood out and started to take a picture. He went to the river and then across the river. He saw them coming and held back. They had killed, they had diverted some spores. And they had killed the proprietors, they had killed all the people there. And they had made boats out of British muslin.
Mm-hmm.
Used to come in boats, I think, about 200 yards in a boat, something like that. Well, they made boats out of it. They split it in the middle, or braided it, and made boats out of horses. And the more they were the Indian women, they came first. Some of his mothers started firing at them, and then they didn't know where the bullets were coming from. They couldn't see it. I saw that side, so they turned back. And as you know, the Indians always come for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they came for the second time, because they were scared to go. My mother says, of course, they were looking for them all day long, but they didn't come back. And I couldn't tell you what tribe it was, because I didn't know. And that's about the end of my that I know. But George Wilson is a good friend of mine. We have been friends for 60 years. And he's a JP at Los Indios, a place that used to be exactly like Panola, the roosters where this Indian way took place. And I saw that the name had been derived from the woods or something like that. So I asked him this morning. And she said, "No, all I know about this is that my brother, Mateo, Jerusha, said, we live in Plum, Oklahoma. My father was Italian, but my mother was a Plum Indian. And she never learned English language. But it was in America that the name of Sam, I forgot the
Taylor, wasn't he?
Huh?
Taylor?
No. He wants to shave him. I could ask him.
Not okay.
It's a little... A lot of information from him. Well, anyway, I was telling you that Point North Alabama, the Robertsons had come from Missouri over settling in Point North Alabama. They became very good friends of these Jerusalem boys. And then when they started the little family railroad here, and had already worked with the railroad over there in some time back at home. Then they came here and they took on tax about to the news to build the railroad. And they had to do the scopes and moves in those days. We have also wanted to news and to build them a South Carolina. And Sam Robertson and Mateo, called him Mateo, I said Matthew, no, he said Mateo, which is from my brother, would be that. They made quite a bit of money, and says, and he was a, Jerusalem was a very young boy, he's about 6 or 5 years old, and he remembered hearing Mr. Robertson and his father, when they went back to Oklahoma, talking about Juan Fernandez. Juan Fernandez was my cousin, president of the First National Bank in Brownsville. Mm-hmm. And the First National the banks had to play deal for the to build the very well here, who was instrumental in advancing him. So I bet you I'll tell something about it.
Right.
Well, one of this is, since we're not he called the name Juan Fernandez. So, he said from the king, he had to the valley that met him, Juan Fernandez, and then Juan Fernandez became a good friend of theirs, and got interested in Mateo, and he made him manager of a place that he had bought across the river, and he was raising cattle and horses and all that. But after the flood, in 1909, everything was done. It was terrible. It was just wiped up everything. And so he came back, and it was very poor, but he looked Sam Robertson up, and John Fernandez, Juan Fernandez, and Sam Robertson made him mayordomo, what he said. He got me a job with one of these two conductors.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, when they came down here to La Pamela,
mm-hmm.
And they stayed there, and then Sam Robertson says, why don't we condemn? He says, I came, because I was not really born all that. He says, I settled here. He says, well, we're going to change the name now from La Pamela to La Singles. That's why they got the name from the Rosie Boys. And one half brother of his, Frank Moreno, was a tenant on the farm. And I said, you can find a more honest man in your life. Wonderful person. He should have seen them brought more in Mr. Jerusa. Much more than Jerusa is part Italian. And I think Moreno was fully Indian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his mother maybe became a widow, and she married Moreno, and me too. And Pancho Moreno was very, and I remember when he was our tenant, and he had a partner, a daughter. And for picking tomatoes and things like that, this partner was said, Brennan, let's put your little ones to the bottom. And all the officers, I don't want ever to have an empty box of tomatoes or squash or anything, and find nice ones on top and bad ones in the bottom. And they have to be just as good in the bottom as on top. He was that honest. And he made us a lot of money on that farm until we sold it on. And Tony Jerusa, my husband took his place one time, and I said, JP, because JJ was waiting for them. Some welfare outfit here, I don't remember the name of it, it's a lot. Then my husband was JP for 3 or 4 years in his place. and we have been friends all the time. And she married Pastor Peter Weber. And that's about all I know about the Indians. But about the other thing that of interest in the Bible was, now we have a sugar mill at Santa Rosa, which is very close to a cotton ranch to come. Just about the same parts of the country. And then we had the cotton ranch over there, north of the ferry. And then we had the farm and the river farm. And my father planted when I was very young, since I was born, the sugar cane. The women came, they called it. And they had a mill that was run by mules. And then they let us over, drive the mule. And they won't let me drive the mule. And they made the, I remember I could see the juice coming out of the canyon, and then they buried in big book containers. Mm-hmm. Big books, then it's in my goodness, I think they. And the made, you can see it, is a brown sugar in corn shape. Mm-hmm. They also made molasses, and my father always made us like rock candy. And the last one, they put the pecans and things like that in it. And and they filled a big iron box, I think it had been a strong box or something like that. And they filled it with, I had to use an axe to cut it. But it was like, lovely. That's our candy. For many, many months, we would have that candy kind of in my ashes. And I think my uncle Nicholas even made some brown sugar. And we have the refineries like we have now, something like that. And I think he made it sometimes with my father, I believe. He made the PNC. You know what PNC is?
Right.
They had hundreds of thousands of molds. The clay molds, I guess they call it, like Harold, you know, in corn shape. And they had to have an X-ray to test it when it should be. Pour out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it would just, you know,
harden inside.
And now the sugar industry has come back to Uganda. I'm very much into it. I want to go see that mill. Because now, of course, is the modern machinery and all that we didn't have in those days. Then it was just rustic, everything was, you know, rustic and man-made. I remember big seed that we are made out of that crushed it. They put the cane in, crushed it in, and the juice would come out of the spout to the containers, and then they would strain it and put it in the vats and cook it. Boil it, you see. And that's about the end of the story that I
know. You know that I talked about Bouncy Hill somewhere, about, you know, how you knew Bouncy Hill?
Well, the little thing about that, I guess his wife had already passed away because we used to come to his house, and he used to come to our house. And as I knew the children, and Robin and Miss Hill, I forget more, you see, at my old age, I can retain the telephone numbers just like a telephone record. But the names are forgotten.
We've got, you know, this book, what you read is, we've got all sorts of pictures and all about.
But you take your mom, because it's Sunday, you may read some tonight, and maybe your mama can bring it to me.
All right. And we've got a...
Like
how you improve the value, like
hard to get
fish
well. I said, tell you what they do. Here in Colonel Scott, the instrumentals in Britain do real world and irrigation system to the valley. The valley really clearly is indebted to Lanzichin. And this kind of, I forgot his name. I'm not going to worry about losing, forgetting names. You have a close hunch, well said. What's the good word in my name? And look at the dresses, they're on the good colonial dresses.
Here's a picture of him when he's seven. I think this is the most popular picture of him. That's one of
them. That's the kind of young to hear and hear him. Come forward for him. And we went to the casino Matamoro one time to a dance, and I never danced. And my he pushed his foot, I should dance with him. And I was about 18. And I know that night I looked pretty because he was so beautiful. But he was a good man.
Definitely was pretty well. Here's a picture of him, and I guess it's must be his daughter.
I told you about the HF that he killed the monkey?
Yeah, the last time you told us.
Eh?
I think you told me. I don't think you put
it. Did you take it out?
No,
But the one on that, you won't take it down.
No, I'm taking it down. I've got it on.
Well, the one on the front and trick with Panuco. Panuco talks to some people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the words are beautiful. Virgin, selvedge, what do you call it? Virgin
land.
Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of beautiful birds you find there, like parakeets, periquitos, and guacamayas, and even monkeys. And my nephew, Bruno Fernandez, the coffee planter in Veracruz, and I don't know, but maybe they were 10 more men than hunting them once a year. But they said that we lost towards time and dark in the evening when Lancy Hill saw a little monkey and shot him. Remember the little monkey. But when a monkey came out of the woods and she looked at him, I tell you, with such terrible eyes, like saying, "You criminals," and she took grass and leaves from the, and tried to stop the blood from the wound of the little monkey and embraced her and her baby monkey and cried and now like a woman. And see, that sounded horrible at that time of the evening and you know the echo. No, it was horrible. She says, "Why the evening for them? They don't even eat supper at night, I don't think." But once she said, "I'm very sorry I did that. Why did I do that?" She says, "Listen, my friends, I have killed two men in my life, and I may kill more men, but I give them the word of honor, I never will kill another monk."
Yeah, he has been pretty interesting guy since he's, you know, helped the valley out so much. And I'd like to do some more work on Lancy Hill.
Huh?
I'd like to do some more work on Lancy Hill. And then come on, this is my...
Well, I tell you, we can get it, and I'll get it for you from Dirty Woods. So next time you come, we'll drive over there. If you give us an interview, we'll select you here. Talk about it.
Okay, next time I'm home, we'll get a...
Yes.
Even though I don't need it for another class, I'll just go out there and talk to him and see what else he's saying, and I'll take you out there.
We'll take... I'd be glad to go because they're very good friends of mine.
Okay. So, thank you.
It's a major way, right?
Yeah, it's not there by my house.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Amelia, and thank you for the...
Okay.
For the bad gift. Franca told me this one time. He said that very, very long time ago, an Indian had a lot of land. He was a governor, but a promise, but he had no money. So he told my brother, he said, "That house there is a bank. You can borrow money there." But he said, "You can go and master if you have he said, lend you some money. So he talked to the bank and he says, well, I need money. How much do you need? He says, I have land, but I have no money. Well, he says, I don't know, he said, $2,000, $3,000, something like that. So the banker knew that he said, but you have a collateral. He says, what is that? He says, it's something that you can convert into money. Like what? Like land, cattle, horses, or he says, I have 100 pennies. All right, we've got the 100 pennies as collateral. So he got the money. He signed the note. Short time after that, they stopped all using the land. And listen, he made a lot of money. So one morning he says, I want to pay that man for that paper. And he got that paper back. So he had a big coat. One pocket he had all the $1,000 bills, and another he had $400 bills, and another he had $50 bills. And $10 and this. Tens and the fives and different pockets. And he got to the bank, he says, I want that paper. Got all the note, all right. And he says, he took money out of the other pocket, and the banker says, listen, he says, it's very dangerous to carry money like that. He says, you should in your pocket, and you should put it in my bank, and we'll take care of it. What? He said, you put the money here, we keep it for you. How many pennies do you have?
He
had the bank.
He wanted a bank, no.
Well, he wanted collateral also.